Good morning once again. Lord, we praise you and we thank you this morning. Lord, we need your presence. Fill your house with your presence, with your love, with your spirit. Fill our hearts with your word, with your love. Have your way this morning, Lord. As we write a new chapter, Lord, may it be filled with you. Open up heaven for us this morning, that we would learn you, your ways, everything about you, Lord. Seek your face. As it says in Psalm 61, early will I seek you. Early. In a dry and thirsty land. Bless your word today, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2023. Did you think we'd get this far? Did we think we'd get this old? What is it they say? If I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. Nah. I should have. But it is what it is. Is this going to be a better year? Funny thing, you know, we turn that page of the calendar, or we switch calendars, actually. We come to January the next year, and it's all things are new. Sounds like the Lord, doesn't it? Because he makes all things new. He's about new beginnings. He's about starting again. But we got to pick ourselves up off the floor, don't we? Those that stay down on the floor when they fall aren't called righteous. Those that get back up are. So, we think it's going to be a better year, huh? Of course. Optimism. Optimism. I heard a story once. Actually, I've shared it here a couple times, I think, about this young mother that goes to her child psychologist friend and talking about her children, Fred and Ted. She has twins. And one of them's the eternal optimist. And the other one is the extreme pessimist. And so the child psychologist says, well, I'll tell you what you do. Christmas is coming up. So what you do is you get the pessimist all kinds of toys. And the optimist, you don't get anything. In fact, just get a paper bag and put some horse manure in it. And so she does that. And the next time she's talking to him, he says, well, how'd it go? And she says, well, I'm not too sure. You know, the optimist or the pessimist looked at the BB gun and said, well, I'll probably shoot my eye out. Looked at the bicycle and said, well, I'll probably fall off it and break my leg. the pessimist, though, or the optimist, looked at what he got, and I asked him, I said, what did you get? He said, well, I think I got a pony, but I haven't been able to find it yet. That was unplanned. But that's okay. How much of it being a better year depends on us? Of course, it depends on the Lord, but don't we have something involved, some part of that? Maybe the choices we make. How about our attitude? Chuck Swindoll said that attitude is 80% what happens, 80%, 20% what happens to you, and 80% how you react to it. Maybe there is a pony, right? Is this the year we finally give him what he desires? More of us. All of us. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Can light and darkness exist at the same time in the same place? We've got to remember it's the light that overcomes the darkness. When we hit that switch on the wall, we turn the light on. We don't turn the darkness on. No one says that, do they? We turn the darkness off because we turn the light on. Let your light shine this year. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? What do people do to get along with people? A lot of times they compromise, don't they? Give in a little. It's easy to give in a little here, a little there. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, 6, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Because there's certain situations where we're not supposed to compromise. Compromise. Definition of it. An agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. Sounds good, doesn't it? Or, it's to settle a dispute by mutual concessions. Or, to accept standards that are lower than desired. That's where we get in trouble, isn't it? Especially where God is concerned. How does God see compromise? You know, God doesn't make deals. I remember one time when I had car trouble, and this tow truck driver happened to pull up and ask if I needed some help, and he told me how much it was going to cost me to get my car running, get it back on the road. And I tried to get a lower price, and his price went up. That's the way God is. You try to compromise with God, he's going to ask for more, isn't he? He doesn't make deals. It's going to be either his way or it's going to be his way. God doesn't compromise, and he doesn't want us to either. Psalm 119, 1 and 2, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. Another translation says, joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. In the book of Exodus, God sent Moses to bring out the children of Israel, to bring his people to the promised land. Of course, Pharaoh wasn't going to go for that. God even told Moses that he wouldn't. Pharaoh was told, let my people go. Let my people go that they will worship me in the wilderness. In Exodus 3:18, it says, let my people go that they may sacrifice to me. In 4:23, God said, let my people go that they will serve me. In 5:1, let my people go to hold a feast. To sacrifice is reconciliation. To serve, well, is to serve. Be a servant. To hold a feast is fellowship and gladness. You know, the order is important. We look in Luke chapter 15, we see that order when the prodigal son, when he came home. There was reconciliation. Then there's service. He was willing to be nothing more than a servant. But then there's a feast. The order is important because that's the way it works. So Pharaoh didn't like the idea of letting the people go. Kind of hard to give up free labor, isn't it? So he offered four compromises. In Exodus 8:25, Pharaoh said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. In the land. In other words, serve God, be a Christian, but stay in the world. We need to remember why the Old Testament is important, why these events were recorded. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us they were recorded for our benefit, that we would learn from them. And hopefully we wouldn't make the same mistakes, right? That doesn't always work out too well because we don't pay attention. And also we need to remember what Egypt represents. It's a type of the world. Go ye, sacrifice to God, to your God in the land. Moses gave two reasons why they weren't going to do that or they couldn't do that. The first one was the Egyptians felt that sheep were an abomination. Moses said, it will offend the people, the Egyptians. You know, we can either offend the world or we can offend Jesus, right? Also, he said, it's not what God had commanded. That's the most important one, isn't it? What does it say if we continue to follow the world instead of God? What does it tell the world? What does it tell everybody? It says God is not to be obeyed. 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What does God want from us? He wants us to obey. It also says God is no better than any other God. Matthew 22:37. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. It also tells the world, God will save us, but we can do as we please. You know, there's a lot of people attending churches that think that. God will save us, but we can do as we please. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. God says, be reasonable, do it my way. That sounds kind of... Does that sound right? You know, with God it works. Yes, that's absolutely right. God can say that. Because to do it God's way is being reasonable. It also says belonging to God makes no difference in the life of a believer. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ. Once again, if we don't take our salvation seriously, why would God? He saved us. We remember where he brought us from. How important is that to us? Is it important to do things his way? It should be. Because he saved us for a purpose. We can't have God and the world too. So which do you want? Our opening scripture this morning was Joshua 24:15. Joshua says, choose you this day who you will serve. Are you going to serve the gods that your father served on the other side of the river? Are you going to serve God? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Compromise number two. We find this in Exodus 8:28. Okay, go ahead and go out of the land, but don't go too far. In the wilderness, but you're still close enough. I can bring you back if I have to. He lengthens a chain, but it's still a chain, isn't it? God wants to break those chains, those attachments to the world. Be a Christian, just don't go overboard about it. Don't be a fanatic. And yet, 1 Peter 2:9 says that we're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Peculiar. There's two meanings to that. Purchased, and we are, we're bought with the blood of Jesus, right? And different. We're supposed to be so different that there's no confusion about whose we are and what we are. Isaiah 52:11 says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Be different, separate yourself. Exodus 10, This is compromise number three. Exodus 10, 8 through 11. Okay, you can go ahead and go, but don't take your children or your families with you. Don't force your beliefs on them. Let them decide for themselves. What was it Hillary Clinton said years ago, that it takes a village to raise a child? No, it takes godly parents. Village doesn't have anything to do with it. We shouldn't just let the schools, the TV, and their peers, or our peers, train our children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Instill those values. Instill, teach them the Bible. Of course, most of us in this room, our children are kind of older now, but yet we can still be the example. We can still teach them, can't we? Compromise number four, Exodus 10:24. Okay, go ahead, you and your families, but don't take your flocks or your herds. Don't take your possessions. Moses said, well, we don't know what God is going to require of us to sacrifice, so we have to take everything. Right? Good answer, Moses. And why should it concern us about our flocks and our herds, our possessions? Because in Matthew 6:21 it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Who or what possesses your possessions? Our possessions actually are supposed to belong to God, aren't they? For His use, because He doesn't know what He's... We don't know what... That he doesn't. He knows. We don't know what He's going to require of us, do we? So it's His, no matter what it is. 3 days into the wilderness. You know, I had a problem with that for a while, because it almost sounds like, well, we're just going to be gone 3 days. No, actually, that's how far out they have to go. Maybe Pharaoh thought they were coming back, but they knew they weren't. Go 3 days in the wilderness, and then I will show you the promised land. In the book of Jude, the third verse speaks of contending for the faith. Literally struggling. Birth pains. The birth process. There's a battle going on. There's a constant battle going on. We got an enemy that likes to fight. But we got a God that's a conqueror. And through Him we're more than conquerors. We can do all things through Him who strengthens us. The battle is constant because Satan never sleeps. He wants to have you. If he can't have you, he wants your children. If he can't have your children, then he wants all your possessions. He wants everything. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Separate, peculiar, purchased, different. Sounds like we could make a New Year's resolution out of that, doesn't it? I want more of God this year. I had a lot of Him last year, but yet I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied because there's more. want more of Him. I want this year to be filled with nothing but Him. I want my life to be filled with Him. So what do we do? How do we attain that? We study our Bibles. We spend a lot of time in prayer. We spend a lot of time in communion with Him. Communion. That's a relationship. Which brings us to this table that's behind me. The communion table with the elements. We do this once a month. Some people think we should do it every week or every day. I think once a month is enough because it doesn't become routine. Some people think it should be every once a year maybe, but no, that goes the other extreme, doesn't it? Seems like a once a month is perfect. I'm going to ask John and Ricky, would you like to come forward and pass out the elements? And while they're being passed out, I'm going to read verse 28 first. But let a man examine himself and so... Oh, I'm in 1 Corinthians 11. But let a man examine himself and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This is a time when we close our eyes, we bow our heads, and we examine ourselves. Is there anything in me that I need to confess to the Lord? Is there anything in me that I need to ask Him to change in my life, in me? Examine yourself. Not so that you can disqualify yourself, but so that you can talk to the Lord about what you find there. You could ask His forgiveness. You could ask for Him to change. Come to terms with what you find when you examine yourself. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's breath till he come, the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's breath, but the Lord's body. That means not knowing, not caring, or not being affected by his sacrifice for us. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this bread. We thank you, Lord, for what it represents, your body, which you gave for us, Lord. We ask your blessing on this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for that blood that you shed on that cross, Lord, the blood that cleanses us from all our sin. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may drink the cup. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, thank you for being here with us today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to that place before your throne where we can bow down before you and give our hearts to you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your instruction. I thank you, Lord, for your love that you have for your people. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one of us, that you would guide us and direct us. Lord, make our path straight. Keep our eyes focused on the finish line, Lord. Keep our eyes focused on you. Bring us back safe, Lord, when we meet again. And keep us close to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Who has a birthday this month? Oh, we do have one. We asked earlier. Oh. Anyway, we have cake and ice cream tonight. Is it after dark? Yeah. Anyway, 6 o'clock tonight. We have Miracles of Jesus, and then we'll have cake and ice cream. Thank you all for coming.